Hello, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night. However, whenever you're listening to us, this is Lizzie and Justin, and we are turning towards life again. As usual, what a joy to be with you and to know that you are out there, and more to feel the kind of contact with the world, Justin, and who's listening to us through the messages that we get and the people that we meet and the conversations we have on the back of this is such an excellent thing. And I'm delighted as usual to be here. I am arriving here having had my office where I sit and do this entirely ransacked by my two children just before we began. So I'm sitting in a kind of, I don't know, there's like a heater thing that's been knocked over. There's wires all over the floor. There's crochet that's been undone on my left and headphones unraveled and a bowl of fruit and goodness knows what. So I'm sitting nicely in the mess. And Justin, we were just talking about multitudinousness before we began in our little preamble, and I feel the multitudes this morning, both deeply grateful and in a mess and taking a breath, because it's really nice when my office doesn't get ransacked, and it's also okay, and feeling massive surges of love for my crazy children and my life and also all of the things in between. And I think maybe that's one of the big invitations of turning towards life, is that whatever our life is like, really, whatever it's like, we can be in it and we can be with it. And I guess that's what turning towards life actually is turning towards what's actually here and being with it and being big enough to hold more than we think we can or something. Mm-hmm. So I'm grateful to be here and to be practicing that thing. And thank you for this source, Justin. Thank you for always bringing sources that are stretching and wonderful and strange and opening and finding this thing that we call new territory. I'm ever grateful for that. I've never seen the poem that you've brought today. And normally that's the case. The things you bring, they're not in my orbit. And so I'm really grateful and happy to be in the conversation with you. And today, how fun, we're meeting with our Third Space community in a park and the sun is shining. And if anybody's listening at the last minute on Sunday, the 7th of September, and this gets out into the world on time and you live in Southwest London, we're going to be gathering, and you can look at our website, which is wearethirdspace.org, and come and find us at Sheen Gate in Richmond Park in Southwest London. I'm so excited that we're going to be gathering with the humans in a real way. And I'll see you as well, Justin, which is a joy, in person, not here on the screen.
It's so funny, isn't it, Lizzie, that turning towards life, we never know when anyone watches to it, which is part of the point. But it's Sunday the 7th of September 2025, as you say, between 2 p.m. and 5 p.m. today, by Sheen Gate in Richmond Park in London. The sun is forecast to be shining. The temperature is forecast to be 24 degrees. So it's going to be I'm feeling so relieved, Lizzie, because we scheduled this Third Space late summer picnic, not knowing, you never know whether it's going to be early autumn or late summer by the time we get to the 7th of September, but it's late summer. So on the off chance you're listening on this day at this time, come and meet us. We'd love to meet you. And the other thing that's happening is it's the 7th of September. On the 10th, we are beginning season one of Turning Towards Life Live. So it begins at 6 p.m. UK time in the evening on a Wednesday evening this week, 3 days' time from now, and then runs once a month on a Wednesday evening for 3 hours from 6 p.m. for 6 months. And we have a lovely group of people signed up for it. I'm feeling incredibly excited that we're beginning something where we bring this practice of study and talking and listening and receiving and opening to work with a group, and there's still space to join us. So if you're interested at all, you could just drop us an email, hello@turningtowards.life, and we can make room for you to begin. And then after the 10th of September, the next opening will be in February or March next year. We'll talk about it as we go. Anyway, I'm really glad to be here, Lizzie. And I thought what you said about what turning towards life is, I think it's really important just to reiterate that there's something here. I suppose one part of this whole endeavor is supporting us, and us in the wider sense, all of us who are all of you who are listening, lending us your ears for this conversation, or maybe watching us or being part of it in that way. More and more ways not to turn away from what is. And I've been feeling recently how brief and precious life is, and how important it is for us to turn towards and not to turn away, to turn towards our joy and our grief, our suffering and our loneliness, our delights and our courage, our creativity and our confusion, the mess and all the things that are together. We only get this one chance, I think, in the particular forms that we're in to be in life. I think there's Justin and Lizzie and then all the other hundreds and hundreds of people who are with us. We're all one-time events in that way. So it's very good to have a way to keep on reminding not to do all the things that we humans, or even to turn towards our turning awayness, and to include that as well, so we can look at it and keep on coming back. And so here's this poem. So this, as always, we have a source for this week, which we're about to read. I'll read it, Lizzie. You'll read it. We'll soften ourselves and let ourselves take in and receive what it's like both to read and to hear. And then our practice is one of opening and opening and opening and receiving and expressing and having whatever arises in this miraculousness of being a human, and to see what we have to say. And if you're listening to us or watching us, maybe you can do the same, which is to open, open, open and see what arises in you. And it just struck me to say, Lizzie, of course, that one of the practices that can come from being a listener to turning towards life is, this is the 413th source, I think, that we have, is you can take these to other people you know and talk with them. And in fact, there is a group, as we know, I think in Shanghai. Hello, all of those of you in Shanghai who take the sources and the conversations into the center of their own conversation, which is marvelous. And that's what Turning Towards Life Live is going to be. And this poem, Lizzie, I came across because there is a fantastic series of books by a man called Roger Housden. The one that I know best is called 10 Poems to Change Your Life. And it's one of them. And there are 9 other excellent poems and little essays that go with them. So this is by the Spanish poet Antonio Machado. Originally in Spanish, translation by Robert Bly. It's called Last Night as I Was Sleeping. Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that a spring was breaking out in my heart. I said, along which secret aqueduct, O water, are you coming to me, water of a new life that I have never drunk? Last night, as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that I had a beehive here inside my heart, and the golden bees were making white combs and sweet honey from my old failures. Last night, as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that a fiery sun was giving light inside my heart. And it was fiery because I felt warmth as from a hearth, and sun because it gave light and brought tears to my eyes. Last night as I slept, I dreamt, marvelous error, that it was God that I had here inside my heart.
Thank you, Justin. Last Night as I Was Sleeping by Antonio Machado. Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that a spring was breaking out in my heart. I said, along which secret aqueduct, O water, are you coming to me, water of a new life that I have never drunk? Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that I had a beehive here inside my heart. And the golden bees were making white combs and sweet honey from my old failures. Last night as I was sleeping, I dreamt, marvelous error, that a fiery sun was giving light inside my heart. It was fiery because I felt warmth as from a hearth, and sun because it gave light and brought tears to my eyes. Last night as I slept, I dreamt, marvelous error, that it was God I had here inside my heart.
Thank you, Lissy. I notice as you're reading, as I was reading, but then more as you were reading and I was receiving your words as if you were reading to me, just how heart-opening and joy-springing it is to hear these words and to hold them as a possibility. So that's the first thing. So I'm very grateful to Antonio Mercado for, you know, we were talking about what we turned towards a few minutes ago. And of course, the obvious thing to say is that for many of us, it's the work of turning towards our grief or our anger or our confusion or our mess, you know, the things that sort of get judged as, I think wrongly and unfairly, as negative emotions, negative experiences. But these words by Mercado are such an invitation, first of all, to turn towards joy, wonder, transformation, healing, redemption, and what is sacred in a kind of heart-bursting, illuminating way about being alive and being a person. So I'm really grateful for that. But I actually think the best bit about this poem, why I had to include it, is because every one of those he calls a marvelous error. Like, it would be one thing to say, wouldn't it be wonderful to feel like there's a spring breaking out in your heart? Yes, I mean, it is. And to imagine that you have a beehive in your heart and that golden bees are making white combs and sweet honey from our old failures. Yes, I mean, there's so much we could talk about each of these. But to acknowledge that, I think one of the mistakes that we can make is to take our lives too literally, to discount all that is our imagination, all the stories that we can tell, all the poems we can write, all the metaphors about who and what we are that we can carry in our hearts and in our minds and talk to one another about. You know, if I say to you, Lizzie, what if you've got a beehive in your heart and the bees are making white combs and sweet honey from all your old failures? And you could look at me and I could look at you and go, that's ridiculous. You know, how ridiculous? Beehive in my heart. Bonkers. And yet at the same time, I think that, it's a incredibly precious human capacity is to imagine and to know that what we're imagining isn't the kind of truth that you could measure with a ruler, you know, or program into a computer or any of those kinds of things. It's our capacity to tell the truth about what it is to be a person, but also to make new worlds for ourselves by imagining things that aren't clearly aren't directly true in that measurable way, but nevertheless are true. Right? We are and can be all of this. And I sometimes wonder whether one of the reasons why it feels really important to talk about it is I think that the imagination for many of us has been pushed out to the world of entertainment. You know, you can imagine it if you watch it in a TV series or something, but to really allow ourselves to imagine for ourselves and for one another, to come in close enough to one another, to speak to one another and ourselves in imaginative language, which evokes our love and our joy and our awe and our wonder and our capacity is right here next to us, but I'm not sure it's very valued in our wider culture, apart from as a way to sell things. And it's so easy to get to lose contact with it and become kind of cynical about lives and about our life. When in a way, yes, we're capable of great evils, for example, us humans. And here in Mercado is like an invitation to our fullest, most generous, most life-giving, most contactful way of being with one another, thank goodness. And it's never actually far away. Sometimes we fall asleep and we dream it, and if we wake, we can give it enough credence and enough weight.
Mm-hmm. It's funny, I was thinking as you were reading, there's so much in this poem I think is so inviting to me. I've got no idea what marvelous error means. And I wonder whether I'll find out what it means. And I just had what your interpretation of it is. And as you were talking, I was thinking, oh, well, also maybe it's, I dreamt this, but the fact that I thought that I dreamt it was an error, a marvelous one, but actually it's real. And it's true. I thought I was dreaming, but actually, and I think that's one of the beautiful things about dreaming for me, is that many times, I mean, my dreams are messed up and bonkers and all of the things. But when I find a moment to actually hold them and be with them, and I know you've done lots of dream stuff, maybe this is true for you as well, but when I hold them and I have them with me and I bring my consciousness to them and I'm inquiring and I'm generous towards them and I'm wondering, of course, then they become like in my experience of the day, not only in my experience of the night when everything is shady and strange and unreal and I can't even put language to the happenings that go on in my dreams. And so this feeling of thinking that something's a dream about the honey and the golden bees and the fire in my heart and the it's this wondrousness of consciousness that it can be a kind of consciousness that arises during sleep and dreams. And then we can make contact with it. Like our broader consciousness is capable of making connections and interpretations and curiousness between pieces of ourselves. And that maybe Antonio is in this piece of his expression really making the worlds connected rather than unconnected. And I love that. Because when I read the words and I receive the aqueduct and the golden bees and the sun, I feel the reality of it. I feel the kind of solid, yeah, that is in my experience. And it's really beautiful that you brought this poem this week, Justin, because this week I've had a particularly joyful experience. I think of this first paragraph of the secret aqueduct carrying water of a new life that I've never drunk. And it's through my incredible niece who rang me on her way to her third day at drama school, which she's just begun. She's 18. And we just had the most life-giving conversation that I could never have imagined. You know, when a conversation comes along and it's this, it's like, oh my gosh, this is like a whole new life force, energy stream that makes life feel completely different. Having the conversation about her going to a pub and because everybody in her class is an actor because it's acting school, majority of people can play the piano and sing, and they just took this whole pub up with their song and everyone wanted to do it with each other and they found their tribe. And the feeling of that in me, you know, when people say that we can live vicariously through others, I was like, oh gosh, this is the first experience I have of actually feeling the joy of this new life coming forth that's available and real and possible. And to describe it like a secret aqueduct of water coming towards me that I never, it feels accurate. It's like in a way, like a descriptor for my inner experience of this extraordinary upwelling of joy and possibility. And it's not my own experience. Like I'm not in the pub singing at the piano, but it doesn't leave me with any less experience of joy and possibility and wonder at the way life is, that we can turn a corner and there something is that belongs to us and we find someone that we love, or we find a thing that we enjoy doing so much that we're willing to put everything else down, or someone gets born and we think, the life that I had is no longer the one I have because this happened. And so I love the feeling of possibility in this poem. And I also feel more faithful because of it. And when you read the piece to me about the golden bees making sweet honey of my old failures, I thought, well, okay, there's my old failures, but there's all the ways I'm going to fail in the future as well. And I suddenly feel really good about that. Like I'm going to mess things up. I'm going to cry when I shouldn't cry because it disturbs something or someone. I'm going to mess something up so that there are material consequences to it. And I feel kind of in some way hungry for it rather than avoidant of it, because that sentence exists. And all of my old failures coming to bear and finding that there's learnings in them, and I'm feeling like a deepened capacity to do what the thing that you were talking about of turning towards what's here, because it's actually whatever ways I'm going to mess up, it's going to be fine in the end. Like, there may be pain which I can turn towards, there may be sadness, there may be ruptures in relationship and all of the things, but in this moment I'm feeling the possibility of us all having the actual chance to be, in spite of all of the happenings and the difficulties, there's something more as well. There's something that can come out the end of things. It's not even the end, but it's part of the process, because there'll be more. There'll always be more. That we can, I think you said redemption in the beginning. Like, there's redemption possible. And I love that word. It makes me feel like, oh, yes, that's what all the movies are made of. And that's what all of our imaginations are pointing to and hoping for and experiencing, actually. And if we can turn towards and we can process our lives and be with one another and be sharing of ourselves in this process of turning towards life, that redemption is not far away.
Yeah. It's just receiving everything that you have just said, Lizzie. It seems to me that one of the things this poem does for me is to remind me that to be human is essentially an imaginative act. Like, and I'm saying in a different way something I said earlier, which is I'm sort of trying to rail against the way in which we tend to diminish ourselves as humans, as if we were somehow less than that, as if we were somehow just cogs in a wheel, or, you know, in some great machinery, and if the world were just great machinery or something, which I think is a really common background story in it. I think what Mercado invites us into is this sense that the world is full of meaning. Like, it's all full of meaning, all of it. And imagine that like, as I'm sitting here with you, I can have a ton of different interpretations about you and me and what we're up to. Some of them open vast worlds of possibility, and some of them close them down. If I treat you as a threat, or I treat you as it's the same old busy who I've known for years, how boring that's going to be, or if I treat myself as something small and diminished. But what if I sit here, I mean, just taking the middle verse, actually, I'm going to take the middle and the last verse. If I sit here with the sense that inside my heart and inside your heart are golden bees making white combs and sweet honey from our old failures and setting ourselves up to all the new failures we're going to make that are going to become honey. Or if I sit here with a very strong sense that what is in my heart and what is in your heart is the divine, and that what's going on is this is the life looking out at life, or the divine looking out at the divine. First of all, the whole experience of being together is different, but also what is possible for each of us and for the world is different. And that's what I think we could spend a very long time talking about all the different ways. I've got lots of ideas now because you brought up, well, maybe the marvelous era means something very, very different to the way I take it. I've got lots of ideas about this now. Right now, the sense that the way that we experience the world is always an imaginative act. We're always in the midst of a story about what it is to be us and what's going on. And our stories include or exclude. But one of the things that they often exclude is our imaginative capacity to be part of a world that is bursting with life and sacredness and depth and possibility and creativity. I was listening, I want to do a little shout out to another podcast, because I was listening to Emerging Form, which is Rosemary Wotola-Trommer and Christy Ashwanden's podcast about creativity. And on the most recent one, they were talking to a writer who had been a poet, and basically she ran out of poetry. Like, she'd been dedicated to poetry, and poetry, bless you, poetry just stopped. And she turned herself towards crime writing, and it's about what it is to go from being a poet to being a thriller writer. It was lovely. It's a lovely conversation. Mm. And I've been thinking, as you've been talking, that you could treat hitting a dead end in life as if everything was over. Mm. But you could also go, along which secret aqueduct, O water, are you coming to me, water of a new life that I've not yet drunk?
Mm.
What are the bees in my heart turning into honey? You can go down this line in any situation. I don't think it's wishful thinking. I think what it is I think it's aliveness. I think it's attending to the sacred, shining aliveness, the fiery warmth as if from a hearth, and the sun inside our hearts that brings light and tears to our eyes. This is as much a part of being a person as is our capacity to do the shopping list and to pay our bills, but also as it is to grieve, and also as it is to make mistakes, and also as it's as much part of it. And thank goodness there's language we can bring to it, because I think we and everyone benefits when we orient, when we're willing to include this, feel into it, and recognize, I suppose, where I'm heading. This is the last bit to say. Recognize how much power we have to shift the world by the story that we are living from in the midst of whatever it is that we're in the midst of.
Mm. Yeah, and I'm thinking, the thought that just came to me as you said that last bit was that nothing is outside of that storytelling. You know, like you said, when we reach a dead end, that's the point. I know for myself and many people I've spoken to as well, that's the point where I'm kind of on my knees thinking, no, this time, I'm done. Like that there's nothing possible anymore. This is so devastating and arresting. I'm now excluded from this storytelling possibility. And I think that's the hopefulness in what you're saying, is that we're always included, because we're always telling some kind of story, whether it's a story about the dead end or a story about this is not possible for me anymore. We're always welcome in this interpretation. And I'm really grateful for that.
Well, that, Lizzie, I think is a fantastic spot for us to end for today. And I want to sort of make an invitation to you and to me and to everyone, which is, what would it be to take these invitations sort of like as a practice into the midst of things, to hold, could start with holding Mikado's words. I'm going to spend my day wondering along which secret aqueduct water is coming to me, water of a new life that I've never drunk. And I can already feel how the world opens just by committing myself to stay in that question for a while. So thank you so much for being in this conversation with me again and again and again. Thank you, everyone, for lending us your ears and being right in alongside us. You are so welcome to come to turningtowards.life. There's lots of ways of being in contact with us and supporting us there. And please tell people you love about this conversation if you think it would be of benefit to them. And all being well, we will be back in your ears or in front of your eyes next week. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.